What were you saying? Go on.
My private life is private and my work life is work.
Okay, first of all, what private life? Because I can account for almost all your hours every single week, whether it's your little stream sessions where you're playing a little Link, going through little water temples that make people quit, or whether you're playing your Rock Band stuff and getting people to jump up and down and feel good about themselves, or whether it's you're doing your podcast with, hey, is this figure better than this one? Or look at this jackass friend of mine argue with me at every point.
Puddle of Mud put out a record, I think, like 2001, and it was called Life on Display. That's always kind of stuck with me. I'm like, hey, Puddle of Mud's telling me I got to do it. The job, the idea is to never leave the house again. That's what I'm getting at. You can get your groceries delivered to you. You got everything set up. You can work from your computer. That's the idea. Never leave the house again.
You've taken note about the last 3 years of my life.
Yeah, I was actually pretty jealous, to be honest. Remember all those days we were doing the podcast, and it's like in Canada here, it's just the weather's unpredictable, and it's always whenever I have to go and do something, it's super snowing. And you're like, oh, that's too bad, and you're like sipping your little hot chocolate, and you're all bundled and cozy, and I got to go out there in the Hoth. Sucks. Yeah.
Well, so
the idea is to never leave the house again. That's my goal for 2023.
You see, that's funny because my goal is now to leave the house as often as I can and to endure the elements.
Trading places, like the movie.
But like the movie with who's in that movie again, Jay? And who am I and who do you get to be?
Oh, I'm Ed. You can be Dan.
You're Eddie Murphy?
Yeah.
Or you're not playing? You're Billy Valentine?
I figured you'd be happy with that, smart.
I'm Winthorpe.
You'd like to be the little Ray Lewis stands there.
Winthorpe the third.
Yeah. Oh, you get Jamie Lee. Yep.
And who do you get?
Who does Billy Ray get? He doesn't get anybody. He's got a bunch of freeloaders that come to his house and put their coals out on his floor and all that stuff. What a great movie. How come if Die Hard
can
be a Christmas movie? How come Trading Places is not
a Christmas Trading movie? Trading Places is a Christmas movie. 100%.
I don't have an ugly Christmas sweater Trading Places.
Well, you better get on it.
Lee Curtis on it. Why not?
You should. You should have like a dirty Santa sweater.
Anyone who's listening who can create such devices as sweaters, if you want to make me a Jamie Lee Curtis Trading Places Christmas sweater, I would love you forever.
All right, I'm going to get to our intro. Did you like how I did that? We had a little preamble, and then we went to the intro music.
I figured. It's great.
Yeah, I knew you would like that. I'm pulling one from your deck of cards, mister. It's been 2 weeks since I saw you.
Yeah, I saw you, Justice Curry, replacing me.
Yeah, Justice Curry made an appearance on the show. You know, as you get older, you think you'd learn about what sounds good or looks good on paper versus what happens in execution?
Oh, why would happen?
Oh, it was a typical Justice session.
It was high energy, which is good.
I was ready for a nap after my discussion with Justice Curry. He had a lot to say. He was no shortage of words or opinions on any given topic.
That's great.
He kept up. He was the pace car. The episode he led it with the torch. Shout out to him. Thanks for filling in the gap. Nice to have you back. Seems a bit calmer. My heart rate is lower. These are good things. Now I do, for Action Figure Spotlight, if you watched last week's episode, you will know that I alluded to a package that Justice had sent me, and I talked about the customs duty that was owed upon receiving, and I was going to send it back to him. I did pay it. And I promised everybody I would open the box that was sent this week, because he said that he, of course, shoved some extra garbage in it. I can't wait to see the trash that he sent across international borders. So we will get to that an action figure spotlight.
You're so nice. What,
well, hey, you know, just one person's trash is another treasure. Is another's treasure? Is that what he's thinking? I don't know. We will find out together. Will it be a Meldo level of awesomeness, or will it just be? Just
we're not supposed to talk about that.
Well, it was after it's after Halloween, so I thought it was safe at this point.
Since when do curses stop? The curse is like, oh, well, you know what? It's not the 31st on this calendar anymore, so I guess I'll just stop haunting. What's a curse?
It's just like gremlins, you know, if you, the feeding after midnight, you know, if you eat at 11:59, it's good. Like if it's, you know, down the throat, you're fine. It's not about digestion. It's not about time zones. Anything like that. It's not about a little crumb wet in your whistle. These are the rules.
Let's just get to the show. I have no idea what you're saying.
The icebreaker. Do you still hate toys, Jay?
Oh,
do you still hate them?
Do I ever? Yeah.
We can tell. I've got a lot of viewer feedback from the few episodes that we've done so far. And people are like, I don't think Jay likes toys anymore. Why are you guys still doing a toy podcast if Jay doesn't like toys?
It's a phase that's going on with the industry. Let's hope. Right now, but I'm excited about my spotlight later on when we get to that.
Oh,
my
one is it toys, or are you just gonna? Okay, I wasn't sure if you were changing the rules.
No, I've just slowed down. That's also yes, I love toys, and I think one reason why it hurts so much is because I love buying toys, and I've had to slow down like we've talked about. So, yes, I love toys.
Okay. Before we jump into our many topics this week, Action Figure Adventure Season 2 continues to roll on in Jinxie Sports TV Canada. Episode 4 dropped this week for everybody in the viewing public, and Episode 5 has been delivered as of a few minutes ago to our Kickstarter backer, so they get, of course, their sneak peek ahead for jumping on a little bit earlier than everybody else and believing in the project. Jay, you had a chance to check out Episode 4. Again, you and I did not do an advanced screening of these things together. We didn't watch them in advance of delivery or anything. You're watching them as they roll out.
Yeah, it's really cool to kind of get to watch it when everyone else does. I don't know. I mean, you told me, you know, watch them. And it's not that I don't want to watch them, because your work is incredible. It's just...
it's that you hate toys.
Yeah, it's just I was there. I mean, I there were cones. What do you want from me?
But you know, this is a different flavor from you, because usually you're dying to see every second of everything. Oh, you should put that in there. You should do this or do that. Oh, let me see that part again. And now that you hate toys,
you
hate yourself.
You've bashed me down so much over the years from asking to watch a little sliver that I just don't care anymore.
The keeper of the footage that
we did 5 years ago. Sure.
Last year. This was a quick turnaround.
It was cool to see the East Coast again. I'm bad with the shop names, that little house shop.
You'll have to jog my memory and let everybody know briefly, without spoilers, what happens in episode 4.
Well, we go out east, which is great. We finish
up. Is it the first shop? Is that what we're doing out east?
Yes, we finish up the negotiations with Chris at Treehouse and walk away with some incredible items. You guys got to check out the end of episode 3, the beginning of episode 4. Then we head out east. And as our narrator states, it is toy stores that you and I have never been to up until that point. It's just stuff we revisited, which is great because they're all awesome. But this one was different. This one had a cursed monkey.
Isn't that? Course, no, tell no, no, tell no, me no, you no, laugh no, so hard. Tell
of
me.
Of course. Yeah, had to make me tell. I think this is how it went down my mind. You're like, ask him about that thing. And I'm like, it's not a toy. Just ask him about it. And then I had to touch it. And I say twice, actually, probably more. You know, you edit it down to two, but I'm sure there's a lot of times where I'm like, do I have to touch this thing? I don't want to touch this thing. I don't want to touch it. But you made me hold it. And then Meldo suddenly appeared. Huh.
Yeah. So the name of the shop was Collectible Toys. Rob Raines is the store owner. They've since moved to a bigger location, which is cool. That, you know, next time that we get to go out, it'll be a different spot that has a little bit more space to move around in and check out stuff that's on display. But yes, he said, hey, here's something rare. And you were busy looking at stuff. And I said, Jay, he's pointing out something rare. Go over there. And you're like, you were doing the thing where you're trying to focus on what you're doing so you didn't get lost looking at a section, because you've got to really scan everything.
That's
the nooks and crannies. Sure. And I pulled you away. I broke your concentration. Like he says, it's rare.
It's good. Well, it's good television. Rob does that, right? I mean, I've explained many times over the years, it's already really awkward for me going in there because it's dead quiet. And I'm trying to concentrate as best I can. And maybe Rob thinks it's a little bit not as exciting as it could be. So he'll kind of pull me away. I think I was looking at the Joe base if I was crouched down, if I remember.
No, it's before you even got there. It's before you even got to that. And I don't write any of this, but if I see a moment arise that is different than the standard, Jay walks into a store, says hi, looks around, leaves, and talks to us, I have to milk it. I have to make sure that we're making the most of it. And Rob was the guy that wanted to interact with you, which is really great when you can have the coverage and you're in a small space, so we can fit you in the framing. And he's pulling out stuff that is, strange and unusual that you are not going to find anywhere else in this case.
Well, there's a reason for that. It's because it came from like an Egyptian tomb or some crap like that. I find it really interesting that out of all the great stuff that Rob had in his store, he chose to spotlight that. It's just, hey, I mean, I think I remember saying to you, like, what am I supposed to do with this footage? What are we supposed to do with this footage? Like,
exactly what it is. It's an interesting
thing. It would be like if we go in there, right? And it's like, there's the Joe base or whatever. And he's like, hey, I got this really cool bowling shirt for sale. It just,
no, my brain, this is cooler than a bowling shirt because.
You know what I'm saying, though.
I do know what you're saying. It seems like a left field decision. It reminds me a little bit of The House in Texas with the interesting characters where it's like, what do you do? How are you supposed to manage this?
Did you cut that together for anything?
Not yet. It's on the way. I still, at some point, probably the new year at this point, we'll get back to releasing the real Nintendo Quest, the less edited, raw, unabridged kind of chapters. And that's coming down the pipe.
Let's revisit that. I'd like to revisit that. I would also like to revisit the flea market in Texas with Todd. I would like to see a lot more of that footage.
Yeah, I don't know how much footage exists.
Because you're like, you don't ask me for anything anymore. I'm asking you now. And now watch everyone listening right now. As soon as I ask for this, it'll be the last thing, if it even gets put out, you watch.
No. So I release everything in order that is shot, so that it's a sequential chapter thing. As much as I'd like to push it to the end to keep Jay interested in his hopes alive, I can't. That's not the way we're releasing it. We're releasing it journey by journey. I don't know how much footage is in the flea market from Texas because we didn't shoot a whole bunch there that day. We walked around a lot. We had a lot of sweat happening.
Yeah, I remember it was so big there, the lot where the flea market was. We got driven around on carts.
At one point, the people that were running the flea market, the administration, picked us up in golf carts to just help us cover more of the square footage.
We couldn't find Todd. Didn't Todd go off somewhere?
Find any place that was open because it was on Labor Day weekend. And you would think, oh my goodness, this is like an extra long weekend. This market's going to be popping. And it was dead. Like there was like nobody open.
Right. That was great. I miss Texas. Oh, do I miss Texas? What a fun time.
I bet you do.
Faith No More.
Yeah.
Anyway, carry on.
Sweet, sweet Texas.
Easy.
What?
Yeah, it was great shooting there and then going back for the power tour. Texas was a lot of fun.
Yep.
Sixth Street.
All by herself, all alone on Sixth Street.
I made it out alive-ish.
What else stood out in episode 4 for you other than your visit to Collectible Toys?
I'm trying to remember the segment in the middle now.
I think there was 2 in episode
4. Holy Grails? Holy Grails was good.
I don't know, to be honest.
That was 3 or 4. I watched them back-to-back today.
I'm going to try to bring up the project right now to see what it is.
You did a really great segment. You put together a really great segment on Holy Grails, and
I think that was 3.
We have Pixel Dan talking about his definition and all sorts of collectors. PSP was talking about that kind of stuff. It's good. And I like how it's defined as, something that you can't acquire. It's almost impossible, like rocket firing Boba Fett. all the way down to some people call Holy Grails like the harder figure to get in a wave, which is really diluting the definition of Holy Grail. I like how there's the two big spectrums there.
So the two there was two segments in episode four, and one was on perfect action figures, and one was on toy stores. What makes a great toy store?
Yeah, and I would agree with a lot of everything that people said about the toy store. I like to go in, and my background here, your background there, I really like as well. I like themes, ideas. I like walking into a place and you're bombarded with that thing you love, but it's done in a really classy way.
Sure.
Only a few stores, I'm not going to call it any stores, only a few stores that we've encountered in our entire life have done this well.
So one of our participants, Mike Crockerell, who runs and owns Elm Street Toys in Texas.
Yeah.
He ran into Nathan and Cindy at a con on the weekend, ran up to them because he's watching them being released on Vimeo. And he goes, I can't believe I got to say dick on Canadian TV. Because his line when talking about stores and particular store owners, he's like, we've all been to that shop where the owner is just a complete dick. And I left it in there because I think it's so true for our culture, for better or worse.
Yeah. And to go further with that, I like what Mysterion, said about.
Oh, yeah.
I hate it when I go into a store. My number one pet peeve is when you see something and it's not for sale. We've also encountered that both in Nintendo Quest and in Action Figure Adventure. And I agree. I can't stand that. And I don't like the comic book, Simpsons comic book guy, too, when you walk into Dame or toy store or comic store or whatever, and you get that elite guy. I can't stand that either.
Mysterion sells it so well, though, when he's like, when you go into store and something's not for sale, why do you have it in your store if it's not for sale? Like, he completely elevates.
And how many times can I say that to you when we've cut? Why? Yeah. And I'll just say it. I don't care. Like, why is it in the window? Why is it in the window if it's not for sale?
Yeah, I just don't put it there. Either you don't have enough stock or you have too much space.
I don't understand the point. It's like, do you want this piece to be a draw for people to come in? And then what? To kind of irritate them by not selling it to them? And it's in the window, so is it not going to get brittle?
It's drawing you in, so people want to come see and talk about it, but then they can't actually go to the next step.
Yeah, it's like, here's some food. No, you cannot have.
What's particularly irritating about that is it's when it's the rare, interesting, and unique pieces that are incredibly hard to find to begin with, regardless of condition. Like, this is the thing I need to complete my set for whatever reason. And like, there it is. And now after I finally found it, you won't do this. You won't sell it, but you'll put it there and dangle it like a little carrot, like you said.
Yeah, there was a video game store in town that used to do that. And you know what I'm talking about. And I would go in there. And the idea of this store was, you know, they said they were going to make Canada's first video game museum. So it was just, you know, glass cabinets like you'd see anywhere.
Yeah.
But nothing was for sale. So they had all these systems. And I remember being really irritated. There was one system I wanted so badly. It was the Sega CDX. And they wouldn't sell it. I went in there month after month. They would not sell it to me. Yet they had no problem keeping Sonic going on it 8 to 10 hours a day, burning this thing out. I never understood that. It was like, okay, you want to have a museum, yet you have no signs that say it's a museum. It looks like a store to me. Yeah. So,
I find this whole museum thing is like, hey, look at the cool stuff I got that you can't have. It goes back to that slightly competitive nature of collecting, like part of the store. So like, are you just bringing your personal collection in here and saying, you can't have this, you can't have this. And someday we'll maybe talk to somebody else who's behind the counter and we'll find a way to have this.
I even went so far as to put cash on the counter at this game store. And that to me was weird. It's like, no, I can't take your money. It's like, What universe am I in right now? Like, I don't understand.
Yeah.
If it's a museum, that's totally cool. I would love to check out a toy museum, a game museum, comic museum, but label it as such.
I would say that 1 in 10 stores that we go into has a museum section. So it doesn't feel that unique. it feels, again, like this is an excuse to kind of say, hey, look at the stuff we got that you can't have. And it's not actually a museum display. It's just a section of the store, same fixtures, same plastic.
Yeah, that you can't buy. Yeah,
you can't even touch it. You can't even look at it. You can't appreciate it. There's no like written blurb about it. It's just kind of sitting there behind glass. And if you know about it, then you know about it. So that's that kind of stuff is really disappointing, I think.
I agree. It's very irritating. So everyone out there who owns a store, stop doing that. Stop it.
At the time of this recording, we're about an hour away, maybe an hour and a half away from some somewhat sad news in the pop culture world. Our good friend Glenn Stanway messaged me saying, balls. Kevin Conroy died.
Yeah, that's funny because our buddy Will messaged me too, said the same thing.
And I hadn't seen it. I hadn't seen it. I didn't know. Kevin Conroy, of course, is best known for the voice of Bruce Wayne and Batman the Animated Series. And I think more than any other iteration, that is quote unquote my Batman. You know, if I had to pick one person to play that role, it'd definitely be Kevin Conroy. What do you remember about Kevin Conroy? What do you remember about that show launching and dropping? Because we watched the premiere together.
The Batman animated show of the 90s was so dark. I don't know if it was my first experience with an adult cartoon. My first one that I remember that I actually retained all the information for sure. It was awesome. You know, they took the best parts of the Tim Burton stuff and like mashed it together with the superpowers, Batman stuff. Again, I'm no Batman expert. That's what it was to me. I have a funny Kevin Conroy story, actually. I was at Fan Expo in 2016, the one where I met Mark Hamill, no less. It would have been great to see those two together. But the girl I was dating at the time, she was very impatient. I don't think she wanted to be there. You know, we're in Toronto. It was packed.
I love that you've already set this up as the girl I was dating at the time. She was impatient.
I'm not going to name names because it's
I don't need a name. I just love that there's like the cause and effect you've already dropped into the story.
Yeah, because this has nothing to do with me. That's why I'm setting it up. My Conroy story has nothing to do with me because it's kind of funny. And we were trying to get to the other side of the arena, whatever it was in Toronto, a convention center. And it was packed. And, you know, there was this gentleman in front of us who had a backpack. And we couldn't, you know, it's kind of like when you get behind a truck on the road and you can't see.
Yeah, single lane. You can't look around. You're just following.
So, you know, we're elbow to elbow, like a packed bar at 1 a.m. And we're pushing forward. And she just gets really irritated because the backpack guy keeps stopping, and so she keeps bumping into him. She's like, oh my god, will you get the hell out of my face, go. And the gentleman turned around, it was Kevin Conroy.
And did he say anything?
He didn't say anything, and I was just like, oh my god, like, we're going to meet Mark Hamill, by the way,
who is a good
friend. She just pulled Batman to get the hell out of our way. I was like,
yeah,
fortified.
Hopefully she got, I don't know, bat told or something like that. You don't talk to anybody like that. How about you don't have to act like that. What do you expect when you go to a fan expo? Like, do you think it's going to be a red carpet, you know, everybody gets out of the way for you, sweetheart? No, you're gonna have to wait. You're gonna have to chill.
Let me tell you this, and let me tell all our wonderful listeners, there's a happy ending to this story, because we get there. We're lined up to meet Mark, and she turns to me and she says, hey, Jay, do you want me to be in the picture with you and Mark? And I said, no, because I just knew.
You knew at that point?
Well, things went down pretty fast. I knew.
But you knew enough to say, I'm good.
Yeah, no. I'm like, no, because the first thing I'm thinking is of... this is my probably one and only time I'll ever meet Mark Hamill, and this is just for me. So I'm like, no, and the picture has been all over my social media for years. It's just me, Mark, and the picture. So there you go. That's what you get for telling off Kevin Conroy. That's what you get.
The only thing that would have been better is if she said, do you want me to stand on your left or your right? And you just would have went, no, I'm good.
No, I'm good.
No. Which side? No side. No sides at all.
Anyone who's ever been to one of these fan expos who's paid for one of these photos, and I'm not going to name the price, but to meet Mark Hamill was not cheap. And you get 10, 15 seconds with him at the most because there's a huge line of people.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is probably the only time I'm ever going to meet Mark Hamill. He rarely, if ever, comes to Canada for this kind of thing. So, yeah. This is all mine. I'm going to be 100% selfish. And that's what happened.
Those 15 to 20 seconds when you get to meet these people.
Yeah.
Like, talk about like a heart-inducing anxiety where you're trying to make the most out of every possible second and like stretch it out. But that stuff's always difficult.
Yeah, you and I have met some pretty awesome people over the years. I find I appreciate meeting these people now, but it's different now. Like, I see them more as just people, right? Whereas back then, I think meeting Mark was the last time where I was really starstruck, and I was super starstruck for him. But I held it together-ish.
Well, yeah, he's had a pretty profound influence on your life. I think that's allowed. We'll allow it, folks. We'll allow that.
Hey.
So yeah, you and I watched Batman the Animated Series. It was the same day that the Super Mario Brothers Super Show premiered as well. We watched at our neighbor's house in his basement. And
How the hell do you remember that?
These things just you remember that now that I said it, don't you?
No. I remember that first episode of the Super Mario Brothers Super Show that we rewatched over and over again in my apartment on Proudfoot Lane because Mario said something that he shouldn't have said, but he said
it. Yeah, f*** you, Luigi.
Yeah, we watched that over and over again. I remember that. You, me, and Chops.
Yeah.
Remember that.
Captain Lou Albino.
Captain Lou. Who is Luigi? Who's that actor? I can't.
It doesn't matter.
See, you don't even know. So if you don't know, he's really...
I don't know. I forget, to be honest. I should know. At one point, it was a trivia thing that I would have known, but not anymore. What the weird thing is, Inspector Gadget's in one of the episodes as a live-action human, and it's the same guy who plays... the same guy who does his voice, who was also the actor in Get Smart. I forget his name as well right now.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And so it's weird that it was a live-action Inspector Gadget in an episode. But they had a lot of weird stuff in those live action bumpers. But I remember watching Batman the Animated Series and Super Mario Brothers Super Show thinking, oh my God, I can't wait to make sure I'm home the next day at 4 o'clock or 3:30 to watch the next episode. Like, it became appointment viewing instantly. Yeah, and it was dark. It was serious. It was still, for a kid audience, but it was a mature sense. Like, it wasn't anything inappropriate, but it was just like a serious tone, and you could tell the people behind it really took it serious. And there's a wonderful documentary you can watch on YouTube for free by Warner Brothers, the people that distributed the show and produced it, about the making of that. I think it's called Heart of Darkness or something like that. I could be confusing that with the Mr. Freeze episode title, but it's out there for free. It's an hour and a half. It's a great documentary on the making of the show, and they talk to everybody you would imagine, the producers, directors, screenwriters, and the voice actors like Kevin Conroy. So
that's awesome.
It's awesome. And of course, it's years later that I find out that so many people that worked on that show also worked on He-Man and the Masters of the Universe and other Filmation shows. And sure. They got their training through Filmation before they went on to do stuff like that. So very cool. But sad day to see that Kevin Conroy, age 66, is no longer with us. That series also spawned so many toys, right? Like,
yeah,
it was infamous for all those different Batmans that came out in the 90s. Not exactly your favorite collecting spot or niche, but right. At the same time, it just proves how powerful that is. And the cartoons ran forever too. Not only was the Batman the Animated Series, his New Adventures of Batman and Robin, and then of course all the Justice League stuff that Kevin Conroy did as well, all the video games that featured his voice as well. I think he appeared in a live action, I think Gotham, he appeared in Gotham as well with a bunch of other people that played Batman.
That was really the beginning of the dynamic duo that was Conroy and Hamill.
Yeah.
Because those two together, if you watch any footage of them recording their lines, they, especially Mark, they act, you know, they're not just saying it into a microphone. Like, they're both animated and moving and looking at each other. Yeah. And it's just so great.
Yeah. And of course, both Mark Hamill and Kevin Conroy recently appeared in the Masters Universe Revelation cartoon as well.
Who's Conroy?
Merman.
Oh, I didn't know that. Wow.
There you go. Yeah. And I believe he was slated to return. I don't know if his work was completed on the follow-up Masters Universe Revolution or not, but...
Is that what they're calling it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No.
I think it's supposed to be this month. I'm not sure. You know how that works. You don't get notice until like a week before. And that's when you find everything out.
Didn't Smith tweet, or am I just making this up? Did he tweet something like, I'll never do another a classic IP again because of the way he was treated?
He was talking about, do you want to direct a Star Wars or Marvel movie? And he talked about, after dealing with stuff like Masters, you know, that you're just, it's paraphrasing, that you're basically getting set up to be lambasted, that you can't please everybody that's out there, you know?
That would be a true statement. Absolutely.
Have you ever bought anything of the likeness of the Batman the Animated Series stuff?
No. And I don't even have like the DVD box set or anything, which I kind of feel like I should. I know you have. We've seen a lot of these figures, and a lot of them are worth a ton of money now.
Yeah, I really love the 12-inch Mondo ones. The Masters Universe stuff from Mondo is hit or miss, but the Batman ones are really good. I've got Batman, Catwoman, Mr. Freeze so far, and Joker's on the way. Again, really cool cel-shaded looking figures. There's no shortage of Batman the Animated Series stuff out there. That's probably my favorite. And of course, the Mondo posters that they released for each episode, done in like a theatrical kind of one sheet, are also pretty fantastic. So, sad day to lose Kevin Conroy. Watch some Batman. I think the whole box set at one point on iTunes was $25 for all 120 episodes or whatever it is, which is a pretty great deal. I think I paid like $100 for it, but it was still good. Less than a dollar an episode.
Those are all hits. It's worth it.
Those are all hits. They're all hits, I think. So, question. We talk about pricey toys. I wonder, what would you be willing to sacrifice on new toys today in order to get the price down?
Well, the thing I've been complaining about a lot is the Hasbro windowless packaging. I would sacrifice that. I got to be honest, at this point, I would sacrifice almost anything to make it more affordable.
Articulation?
Lightness. Articulation, yeah. Articulation, I don't really care about that much.
Oh, come on. If you can't stand an action figure, that drives you nuts.
Well, if they're molded like kind of like early movie Maniacs, that's the problem, where it's one pose and that's it. I don't want that. But I mean, I don't need... The exception might be Spider-Man, where you need 6,000 joints. But other than that, you just need one elbow joint, one knee joint. I would sacrifice articulation. Likeness, actually, as much as I like it, has started to irritate me now, because with the cost of these things and the likeness looking so real, I just feel like I'm buying a statue at this point. I don't want to buy a statue. I did a review on my YouTube channel, guys, check it out, of The Last Ronin, Playmates Ninja Turtle. The first thing that I said when I took it out of the box was, oh my God, it feels like a toy. It feels like a Playmates toy. It felt like the old Turtles. The plastic was just right. Loved it. Loved it.
It's okay that these things can be toys and feel like toys and look like toys and move like toys. I was gonna literally ask you later about statues. Like, if toys are too expensive, it doesn't look like the cost of statues has actually varied that much from the stuff that we collect, whether it's Hot Toys or even just some of the busts, the Polystone stuff. Is that a direction to go in for you, or is that just, is it too static now? Because at one point you had kind of leapt from action figures to getting busts and statues and populating that as your collection instead of a toy.
Yeah, now with the cost really not being a whole lot different. I mean, it is, but it's not. I don't buy statues anymore. In fact, I got rid of most of my Star Wars busts I had. I had like 30 of them. I got rid of all of those.
Yeah.
Because you can honestly get toys that look better. They just do.
True.
And I understand a half bust is an art style. I get that. But I would rather just have a full figure that is pretty close.
Yeah. I would lose the 600 hands that you get with all the toys. Yeah. Nowadays, like, I don't need that. Just give me the one set of hands. Like, that last Ronin figure is a perfect example. I don't think there was extra hands in that.
No.
And it can hold everything that's included. And I'm okay with that. I don't need a closed fist, an open fist, a partially open fist to hold one weapon, another kind of fist to hold a different accessory. Like, just give me one universal thing and sculpt the accessories to fit that. You know, I'm not that particular if it's on a shelf and I'm standing more than 3 feet away. It'll do its job.
Yeah, I think that was charming at first. But if that's, you know, something that is causing the price to constantly go up. Yeah, I don't need an extra set of hands.
And I don't even need like what I do love how Super 7 and their Ultimate stuff has a lot of deep cut accessories. Those are cool to see the little nods, the winks to the fans that get it. Like the surfboard with the Optimus Prime, that kind of stuff. Little cheesy, but like, yeah, it is part of it. But I don't need that. If that saves me $3 on an action figure, I'm okay, you know, without Optimus Prime having that surfboard. You know, I don't need
like
everything.
An accessory pack, you know, something like that, that you can buy extra if you want
to. You can choose to go into. And Masters did that, right? With Classic. I mean, how many weapons packs have they released? You know,
that's lots. Really cool. Yeah. I love that stuff, man. That's directly goes back to the 80s with the stuff that we bought.
Yeah.
So I love that. I love that option.
I'm so torn on statues because I think when you get a statue that's big enough and detailed enough, it really stands out on a shelf and it really has a presence. But I find that you can't organize and display statues with the kind of precision that you can with an action figure package. Like you can line up them perfectly on a wall and it can take up everything and it's so uniform and nice. But with statues, it's a little hodgepodgey. And especially if they're busts, like it's really hard to display and orientate them in a truly pleasing configuration. And like you said, in artistic style, my daughter comes into my office at home where I still have a lot of stuff on display. And she's like, why does Jack Skellington have no arms? Why does Ram Man only have a head? You know, and it's just like, well, that's the way it's supposed to be. But where are his arms, Daddy? And it's like, I don't know.
Well, it's not a toy, right?
But she's seeing the character, and you're seeing, like, in the case of Jack Skellington, it's head, shoulders, torso, and waist.
Well, let's go back to, I mean, when I was really into busts, maybe late 90s, early 2000s, I think. There wasn't a lot of options. So let's take, a random character, Luke Skywalker. Let's use him.
Pulled out of a hat, folks.
Luke, you had the figures, the 3.75 inch figures. And then you had, that was regular for kind of everybody. And then the busts were like, well, I like Luke, but I really like Luke. Then you could spend the extra money and get the statues. That was kind of the two different options. Now, there's 50 options for Luke Skywalker, right? So back then I got them because I liked the basic toy, but I also wanted something a little more high end. That's all there was. Yeah.
And to be fair, they looked more authentic and reflective of the world than the action figure could. You know, it just was a little bit more encompassing. It felt more otherworldly. It felt more like Star Wars in that case. And how can you not want to have that when you're a fan of that? How would you not want? I mean, that's why we love playsets. We want a piece of the world in our world, in our room, so that we can have it there and it's a stronger touchstone. Nowadays, I don't think the art of a statue has evolved so that it's like, yep, it's still just a statue. Hot toys, of course, they look great and they're still looking better and you're getting more accessories. But where has been the evolutionary leap for statues that we've seen in action figures, right? Like everything looks much better in action figures than it did 20 years ago. You have all the accessories and the different kind of goods and materials that come with them, but statues are still statues. Like there isn't any additional selling point to your point. Like you might as well have an action figure where you get the whole character and everything that goes with it since the price is so close.
Yeah, unless you're getting into Hot Toys, which I think is a third category where
it's a hybrid almost.
There's something about Hot Toys that I really like, but at the same time I despise. And
oh, here we go.
As much as I like to look at Jedi Luke, when you hold it, it almost feels like a voodoo shrunken head. It's really weird because it looks exactly like Mark Hamill and you're looking at it. And there's something creepy about it. The troopers with the helmets, the droids, whatever, I don't mind so much. But when you're, you remember I used to have Finn. I had Finn and Farm Boy Luke. And just holding those, it was, I don't know, it's weird.
It's always been weird. That goes back, though, to like the 12-inch stuff from A New Hope in the late 70s.
But like, they look like toys. They look like toys, though.
But you wanted them to look more. And because they were bigger, right. It like looked for. Like a worse toy than the 3 3/4.
Yeah, because there really wasn't that much more detail in the Kenner 12-inch stuff, right? It was just more a blown-up version of Han, you know? I don't know. So, I mean, with the cost of figures now, with, you know, being like $40-$50, Hot Toys are still at $300. This Canadian dollars, by the way. I don't know. It's all just, I hate everything.
I can tell. I got my first look at a McFarlane gun pack since we were talking about accessories.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, this stems from something that you told me that DC has made the decision that their figures won't have any guns in them. You can have a grappling hook gun for Batman, but you can't have like an actual pistol or a rifle or anything like that. And the McFarlane gun packs retail for $15 US. And I think there's like, I don't know, it looks like 10 to 12 guns at least come in this one pack. It could have just been a marketing thumbnail I saw. And they're all different kinds. Some of them look like they're made specifically for the DC characters. Some look like they're for Spawn. What do you think about this workaround for McFarlane to offer this generic weapon gun pack to complete the figures you may already have?
I'm all for it. I think Todd McFarlane is a marketing genius. And
is it too clunky though that like you have to get this gun, you have to track down what gun pack this figure has the weapon for, and now the gun pack's the limited thing, the figure might have been hard to find? Like
is it clunky? Yes, but that wasn't his call. That's a terrible decision by DC Comics to do that. That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard of. Like, what's Deathstroke? His name is Deathstroke.
Not anymore.
What's he going to be like? Pillow Stroke? Like, wait, what does that even mean? You know what I'm trying to say?
Careful,
like,
where you're going with this, Jay. Careful stroke, what you insert before stroke.
You know, we talked about one of our favorite DC characters, which is Red Hood, and how cool he is, right? And he's got two pistols. He kills people. That's what Red Hood does. But now, you know, his figure is molded like this, so he's like, you know, play gun kind of thing. It's stupid. I don't know what their aim is. You know, they don't want kids to play with these, but it's okay to still watch the shows and read the books. Like, I don't understand it. So this is Todd just doing the best with what he has, right? And because he doesn't want to lose any of his market share. So I get it. I think it's great. And that way, if you don't believe in Deathstroke having a rifle, then you don't have to get the weapon pack.
I think it's cool that you can get accessory packs just as a general idea for action figure collecting. There's nothing cooler than having more accessories because they really enhance play value. Like, your G.I. Joes without a gun or their backpack are not as fun. Your Masters of the Universe guys without their swords and shields and weapons aren't as fun. They just aren't when you're trying to do playtime.
Hasbro, careful what you say. They're probably listening because they've already taken away the Joe's vehicles. So, you know.
Oh, no. I saw Wicked His Tank with Baroness.
Oh, no. I'm talking about the classified line. Their frontline line.
Oh, isn't there like two motorcycles now? Like, the Baroness had, what is the recoil?
The Baroness has a motorcycle from Akira. Give me a break. That's not
okay. So she's got a vehicle, and didn't Breaker have one as well?
He's got the Ram. Yeah. Kinda, I guess.
See, there you go. There you go.
I remember when I was a kid, I fell in love with G.I. Joe because of the Ram motorbike.
No. I knew it.
No.
I knew it.
So, you know, bless Mattel for keeping He-Man the way it should be, because He-Man doesn't need the vehicles as much as G.I. Joe. That's for certain. But they go along nicely. So, yeah. I mean, if they were going to do, you imagine they made the Origins line and He-Man didn't have Battle Cat.
Or they did, and they just refused to release Castle Grayskull.
Yeah. Like, yeah. So
you can't tell that story without it. And yet there's no Joe base or Cobra base or even like the mini base playsets that you're such a fan of, right? There's no like Checkpoint Alpha. And that should be something that's so easy to make along the lines of the vehicles they have done.
I'm going to give a shout out to a great YouTube channel, Articulated Chad.
No, do not praise this guy. He is a troll. He's an internet hate monger. He bothers me at every turn.
He loves you.
Yeah, I like him too.
He had Kirk Bazigian on his channel on
Monday. Not according to when I went to go look at it.
Yeah, it's back up now from what I understand. He won his case. But anyway, Kirk was saying some great stuff, and he basically said there'll never be G.I. Joe like there was. There just won't, because Hasbro's a completely different company now and they're not willing to take chances. So I think for me, you know, playing that old song of, well, classifieds don't have their vehicles, I'm saying this to myself, I got to let that go, because there's never going to be a time like that again. That period of all toys was so wonderful. And because the way kids don't play with toys the way they used to, we're never going to see that again.
It goes right back to what you just said. The way people used to play versus the way people play now. Like, are you missing the vehicles because you want to play with them, or because you want them to take a shelf space because you want a newer adult version of the thing you had as a kid? Is that why it really bothers you? Because you're not going to get on the ground and put them all in the whale or something.
No,
you don't even really like to display them. You have most of your stuff in boxes.
Well, that's not true, my friend.
No, have you started opening?
I open up everything. I opened up, I'll tell you off camera, something I opened. But anyway, the Millennium Falcon is a perfect example. And we've talked about this before, where the Falcon itself is a character that's been through most of the Star Wars films. We're never going to have that again. Like, on a 6-inch scale, which is the scale that Hasbro loves to produce now. That's what I'm talking about. I don't think Joe vehicles are as much of a character as the Falcon, but I mean, Kirk himself said, you know, that the vehicles were the main selling point and figures were something you just got extra.
Yeah. Well, that's the Barbie, you know, scheme too, right? You get the dream house and then you populate the playset.
Yeah, it's just not that way anymore. And especially at the price point of a single figure, nobody would be able to afford it. Even if they said, the hell with it, we're going to bring the Vamp out, we're going to bring the Mauler, blah, blah, blah. Nobody could afford it.
Yeah. One thing I did see you get excited for one thing, and that was some serial mascot figures.
Oh, those are
the first
cool.
time I saw you get excited about toys and talking about toys, and you showed them all to me and everything.
Yeah, those were cool. I passed up on the Count Chocula, which I regret. And forgive me, I can't remember the company that makes them.
I think it's Funko, to be honest.
I don't know. You might be right. I don't know. Maybe you could do a quick search while I talk here. But they were priced at like $20, like $21. They were really cool. You got Count Chocula and Frankenberry were the two ones I saw. And they came with cereal boxes that you could use in action figure photography for other characters too. And they were built really well. The plastic's nice.
They're affordable. Yeah. It's like $15 Canadian and they're by Jada Toys.
There you go, Jada. Yeah, they're great. And yeah. I passed up on Count Chocula twice now. Regrets, yes. But I did not pass up on Count Chocula at the grocery store. I bought a box.
Nice. Wow, good for you. I wish I could eat that stuff still. I just...
Oh, I can't. But I bought it anyway. But I don't,
put it
I don't
on the
eat,
shelf.
I don't eat sweets at all, like anything. So this is kind of going to be like a treat. But I don't drink milk either, so I don't know what I'm supposed to put on this thing. But
you can get like almond milk, which is really good. And
it's about, oh yeah, almond milk. Yeah, I drink.
Get something called Next Milk. It's the closest thing I found to like real milk without being real milk, which is almonds.
There you go.
This is the way the show's gone, folks. We're talking about being middle-aged men and our new dietary restrictions.
Dietary choices. I really want Count Chocula, but I don't want the calories.
But I can't. Much like I want my dollies from yesteryear, but I can't have them. I want my cereal and my cartoons and my toys like I used to have them, but I'm an older, decrepit version of that self that I can't reconcile with yet. Can't do it. One line that came out that we haven't talked about, I finally got to see in person when I found myself in a Walmart last week, and that's the new Superpowers line. Have you seen these in person yet?
I have not.
So Walmart that I popped into, and Canada's, I think, maybe a wave behind everything else. There was only Superman, Batman, and Darkseid. And of course, Flash, Green Lantern, the Batman Who Laughs Last, which is Joker, and a few other ones. Wonder Woman, I think, is released now too, or going to be released with Nightwing and stuff. Anyways, I saw them on the rack, of course, because if I'm going to be in a Walmart, I got to check out the toy aisle, because that's what you do.
Yeah.
Didn't see the Lizard from Spider-Man. Oh, yeah. I looked, not there. That was another disappointment. But I looked at these superpower figures. The packaging looks like it should, but those figures,
not so much.
Something about them. They're, I can't quite put my finger on it.
Your finger? They're 6-inch, right?
No, they're the same scale. They're like 4-inch figures.
Well, that's a really smart idea that they did.
It's affordable. They're $12.
Uh-oh. Yeah. I don't feel like I can really.
Darkseid looks the best.
I can't give an opinion because I haven't seen them. I have seen pictures of them when they were announced, and it didn't excite me. It's just
the Batwing kind of excited me, but that's just because I really want the original Batcopter. So it felt like a cop out. It's just not the same.
Here's an idea. This is something I would like to see. And you said they've made new figures in the Superpowers line, which I think is great. I think they should take the classic lines and continue.
Imagine
they did, and obviously this isn't talking about Carson and 3D Joes and all that, but this is like if they took the 94 Joes with the last wave, and then they just like, okay, let's create some new Joes. Or with Superpowers, it's like, okay, we'll put out the blue Batman again and the classic Superman, but let's make these new guys from the last 30 years. I love that idea.
Yeah. So Nightwing is coming out, for example, which is cool. And I think there's one or two other ones that were never part of the original release, but are well-known characters, for example.
Yeah. They would have to have the same kind of art style though.
The packaging looks identical to what you would expect. The Batman isn't blue. It isn't black. I think there's a variant as well that is all black, but it's like a dark, dark blue and gray.
I like that too, because I like that it's different.
It's the sculpt that seems so strange.
Is it
That's
weird?
The problem I have. Yeah. It feels dollar store level. That's the best way I can describe it. It's cheap. It's a close approximation to what you're hoping it would be for a Batman figure, but it's kind of like not a Batman figure. It's like a Bat fan figure.
Okay. How much was it?
It was like $12.99.
For real?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yes, I know.
Wow. Yeah. I hope to check them out. I don't think they're a Walmart exclusive. They might be though.
They are. They were in the States anyways.
That's why I haven't seen them. There you go. Walmart's,
I don't know if you saw them when you saw your Lizard figure that you didn't tell me about.
No, well, my buddy Phil picked that up for me.
So. Well, give Phil a round of applause.
I did.
Thanks,
I'm not
Phil.
Going into Death Mart. No, thank you.
Well, I got to tell you, there's no one in the toy section because nobody plays with toys, Jay. That much I can tell you.
No kids do.
Nope, there was nobody there. I literally walked in. I had to get a cable. And it was a kind of a specific cable. There was no one in the electronics section. No one in the kids section. I walked in and I walked out.
Let me ask you this. I know we're running out of time here, but let me throw this at you.
I want to hear.
Do you think the bottom is going to fall out from modern toy collecting anytime soon?
No.
Do you think that everyone's just going to be like, you know what? I can't do this anymore.
Well, this is what we talked about last week with Justice, the end of days. You know, sure. Is it the end of days? So definitely go back and watch that and hear that conversation. I've been thinking about it since. I don't think the bottom's going to fall out. I just think the current offerings are going to constantly adjust to what people are going to buy, because manufacturers won't be able to afford to keep producing stuff that isn't selling. And I think people that are determined to stay in the game, and I, you know, frankly, there's an addictive habit to that where people want to continually add to the IP that they want and surround it, they will find an outlet to do that with what is available. That might mean chasing other, you know, IP related stuff like animation cells or props, or going back to more vintage stuff or early stuff that exists pre-childhood, you know, the 60s or 50s type of toys that are reminiscent or an inspiration to the thing that they love. But I think that collectors will always continue to collect and find a way to spend the reasonable amount of money in their minds to keep in the game.
When we were talking about prices, you said something, and it was a while ago, and this is the thing that's really stuck with me above all else. You said, can you believe blah, blah, blah figure is the same price as a video game?
Yeah.
And that's when I was like that always sticks with me now. I'm like, oh my God, like, I can't believe it's that much, you know?
Yeah.
A Super 7 figure, for instance. Yeah.
And yet I still look at, like, I got, this is not my action figure spotlight, but this is a figure that came in the mail. This is Undercover Raph. It was an exclusive to Big Bad Toy Store. It has, you know, a trench coat on it. It's cloth goods. And that is an amazing figure to me. It's probably my favorite turtle that they've released compared to the other ones. Because the trench coat comes off and it's just the same turtle underneath, but you have everything else on top. And of course, there's the movie tie-in aspect to this and the vintage toy tie-in. And it is just such a cool addition that I'm thinking, yeah, this seems to feel like it has the value compared to some of the other stuff. But that is so few and far between in toys that get released. Like, there's never really like a standout toy. They're all kind of just like dial tone. They're all kind of the same level, which sure, quality is consistent, but there's nothing that really ever truly gets me excited these days.
Well, you might want to check out my spotlight, because I think I have something that might make you excited.
All right. So let's do it. Let's transition to action figure spotlight. Jay, would you like to go first? Since I've got
this
stupid box from Justice I got to open.
I'll go first, since you could tie up the whole Justice Curry story with yours at the end. Now, I don't know. You might not be excited about this. This was a surprise to me. I didn't know that this character was going to be in this particular show. And this is, I don't know, a character that Rob and I really enjoy. He's not to be taken seriously, but I got a notification from Big Bad Toy Store saying your pre-order is in, and I don't have many left on there, but I was like, which pre-order? I don't remember ordering anything. So I didn't even look, and it showed up in my house. I didn't have to pay duty on it. So I knew it was a Hasbro figure. This guy came out. This is Howard the Duck.
Oh, wicked.
So this is from season 2 of What If, which is not out until I believe early 2023. So I haven't even read the back yet. I don't know who this head is. I have no idea. But this is, like, I think the more recent version of Howard. I would love to show you Howard, but he's entrapped in his cardboard prison. I will be opening this on my channel and giving him a review, but I really, really enjoyed the first season of What If. I thought it was really, really cool. And I love Howard the Duck. I know Rob loves Howard the Duck. It's George Lucas's best movie by far. And so I couldn't resist, man. And the only Howard the Duck there is in the 6-inch line was the one that came with an early, early version of Silver Surfer. This is more of the alcoholic scumbag Howard the Duck that we love. So there you go. check out my YouTube channel this week, guys, and you'll see the review of this guy here.
That's pretty awesome. How much of an addict am I that as you're like building your preamble, I'm opening another browser window and you're like, I got this from Big Bad Toy Store, and I'm typing in Big Bad Toy Store and I'm like ready to pre-order something like right away as you're talking. That's how bad it is, folks.
It is. And I'm the same. I haven't gone on there. Like I said, I haven't gone on there lately. I get the emails. I think they're in my junk folder now because I just, I got to ease it. I got to ease up, right? This is my figure of the month. So I've toned down. This is my one figure for November. Again, cost. I just have to be very selective. Howard the Duck. I could not say no.
That's pretty cool. There's a new Captain Carter figure out as well.
Yeah, she looks awesome.
I still haven't seen season one of What If.
Oh, it's great. And that's I love that Captain Carter figure, and I love that story. Yep. She was number two on my list last year for best figures of the year.
People will discover if they patrol my YouTube channel, I'm releasing the best of action figure spotlight. And I've got, I think, the first 11 or 12 weeks already preloaded. So you get to go back in time and see like three episodes at a time as we unveil different figures. So it was fun to go back and watch that stuff and hear our commentary and how some of it's changed, how some of it's still spot on, and just hear the banter back and forth and see the guests that we've had on as well and to have them share their figures. So it's a nice, cool, like 15 to 20 minutes, just rollicking good time.
And what's even more fun is to check out Rob's background, the evolution of Rob's background.
Yeah, you watch the first like 4 weeks and you see it like dramatically change.
The first few episodes, I was using my iPhone with that terrible down view.
You're looking like right down at it.
It's bad.
We're learning, folks. We learn. We can evolve. All right. Much like our Luke Skywalker saga from Best of Action Figure Spotlight from yesteryear, this hopefully culminates this story. I'm going to enlarge this so everybody can see. So, as you know, I ordered some toys from Justice Curry. He posts a lot of stuff on his Facebook. And this had been a deal that we've gone back and forth a few times since he posted some figure options. And I wanted like four or five different figures he posted. I just couldn't afford it because the price is just too much, especially for some of these collectibles. And so I ordered this stuff. Now, just so you know, here's the duty slip, okay? It's hard to see here, but I circled this amount here. And this is $300 is the declared value of what's in this. Yeah, of what's in this box. And you can tell it's from him because of his ridiculous face that's on it. So when this shows up at my door and there's a UPS person there saying, I need $140 of duty to collect on this $300 valued item. I look at this face and I just get all red in the veins.
$140.
Not too happy. He's like, hey, buddy, pay the money. You get your dollies. That's what it says to me. And I sincerely wanted to send it back, but I didn't. So we had him on last week and I'm opening the box now. We had him on last week and he said that he included some stuff in here for me. Now, if you've seen the stuff that Justice has sent me over the years, he always seems to include a little bit of knickknacks and trash and stuff. I've had to wear gloves before. And given the era that we live in, I don't know what's in this box. And I know he goes into some strange places. So I'm donning the mask as I open this. So here we go. Again, he declared $300 worth of value. I didn't pay that. So not only did he artificially inflate the price of this, he artificially inflated the duty I had to pay. Some friend. Oh, there's a note. It says, Rob, I miss you dearly. You know, I'm kind of like Captain Planet and want to save the environment. Reuse, repurpose is my motto. He spelt motto wrong. You may have noticed the cotton padding in this box. This is the inside of my pillow that I was going to throw away. There's so much of my DNA in this, so don't clone me. Your friend, Justice Curry. P.S. Here is a small brain to always remind you of me. Never mind. There's a little brain attached there. So there's that That's letter
great.
Right there. And no word of a lie, after I get another disposable piece of garbage, here's his pillow. We'll put that in the sanitation section. Oh, look, he's already included a toy police car. What other stuff's in here? Now, everybody's probably, I don't even think people care what I actually got. They want to see what other trinkets might be in here. It's like he took apart like a Christmas village. It's like gray and it kind of stinks too. It reminds me, since we were talking about Trading Places earlier, like like Winthorpe's beard after eating stuffing the fish.
The salmon and the beard.
Stuffing the fish, yeah. So I just got it. Oh, God. Give me a second here, folks, because I want to make sure there's nothing else.
Don't touch your hands to your face, whatever you do.
The mask, Jay. The mask.
Don't touch it anyway.
I'm not doing it. So here we go. Here we go. And of course, he used a ton of bubble padding, which is actually a good thing in this case. Now, it looks like there's acrylic cases here, which I wasn't expecting. So this is after a layer of this. Really drawing it out, McCallum. You're really drawing it out.
Are you going to edit this or what?
Nope. Nope. Everybody gets to... Oh, my God.
We're along for the journey with you.
Along right for now. The whole journey here. Everybody that's listening on the audio side is... Long to the okay, so here we go. There are two items in here, and they do relate to one another. We'll see, Jay, if you can figure out what the other is based on first one. So here we go. So here's the first one. It is spike ore
graded
from. It is graded. I don't know if you can actually open these or not.
I don't believe so.
Well. I have a hammer at home. It just doesn't fit my display in this thing. But this is a PowerCon exclusive, which is what makes this really attractive to go after, which means it's certainly harder to track down. It is very shiny.
Oh, open that, dude. Don't open that case. Oh,
why?
It's so great in that.
It's mine. I can do what I want with it. Don't tell me how to play with my dollies, Jay.
People would kill to have that kind of... It takes like 6 months to get that stuff graded.
Oh, Muffin. Oh, does it take a while to have your dollies have a number on them? Do you feel better after there's a number on them? Do you like it more than...
I don't have anything graded. I'm jealous.
So the next one is another Club Grayskull figure. Do you have a guess as to which one it might be?
I'm going to say Blue Hordak.
No, you know I got Blue Hordak from season one of Action Figure Adventure.
Well, I didn't know if he was graded. Okay, let me guess again. Man-at-Arms.
No. I actually showed him off in one of our very first episodes of AFA. Or Jane Rob Toy Show. This is Triclops.
Oh, Henry Rollins.
Which is one that's very hard to find. Oh, look at that. This one's 9.25. Whatever that means, folks. Can I just talk about the grading for a second? There's like three or four different outlets. Is a 9 the same across the board of all of them, or is it different? Do you know?
I think they're all based off of 10 being perfect. Yes.
Yeah, I understand that, but is this from Action Figure Authority? Is that the same as a different one? Like, is there a 9 equivalent, or are they all different?
It's the same equivalent, yeah, because they want to be in competition with each other, right? So they're going to keep everything kind of uniform. That's good. So,
I guess. Whatever. I'm not impressed. I don't know how I'm going to display these ones. But Triclops is one that I never had. I had to pick and choose, I think, after the first wave. And again, I love the cartoon accuracy of this line. This is by far my favorite He-Man line. And they just look so good out of the package. And they display well in the package with all that plastic window. Hasbro, a plastic window helps to display and preserve. I don't like these acrylic cases, and this is one of the things that actually had me hold off on acquiring them from Justice earlier, because he had a whole lot. And I just said, no, I don't want those. I'd rather have... And he has to charge more because that costs money, like you said. So
there's a lot of controversy with sending stuff away the last couple of years since COVID. When COVID hit in 2020, everyone was sending stuff away, get graded, right? A lot of stuff goes missing. So it's like this huge debate now. It's like, okay, you have an original New Hope Han. Do I send it away? Because it might get lost in the mail. Can you imagine having a real
lost in the mail?
Yeah, like it happens. And it's just like, oh, well, I guess it's gone. It's like, do you take that risk to have a number being put on it and sent back to you? And then it's like 6 to 8 months for the whole process. That's scary. Would you risk that? Would you risk a high-end figure sent?
I have never been down with grading. I just, whether it's video games, action figures, or comic books, I get that it takes the subjective nature out of saying, you know, this is a 5 for me, but it's a 4 for you.
Well, here's an
independent evaluation. I understand that, and it's helpful, and it does assist in the selling and buying process. But the rigmarole to get to that point, I'm good.
I would like to have one thing, just one graded toy. I would just be happy with one. But I feel like people use the term MOC to like haphazardly. It's like mint on card. It's not mint on card. It's like it's on the card, sure, but it's not mint. The corner's bent. Do you know what I mean? So yeah, this is to kind of clarify, and I'm sure you can download or find online the grading system and what a 9.25 actually means.
Yeah, and they're all cataloged so that you could look them up and verify that somebody just hasn't put it in an acrylic case. Like, there's a barcode that you can scan.
Sure.
And I'm sure see it listed somewhere.
It's very expensive to do that as well. So like I said, I would like to have maybe just one to have on display to say, yep, I went through that process.
Sure.
But I don't know if I'd risk sending it in the mail.
In your current collection, what would you send off?
My vintage collection, Jedi Knight, Luke Skywalker, because it's got such a great story with the Amazon anyway, I would send that one off because I know that it would get lost. So it would just add to the story even further.
You should send like
the cross.
I think it happened to both. I should send like the ARC 5 trooper and say, this is my vintage collection, Luke Skywalker, that I ordered. Include the packing slip.
Yeah.
And so that the grader can say, this is a misprint or whatever.
I have four of them total. So, I mean, I wouldn't want to get the cross-eyed Luke Skywalker back, but that's the one I would do, but I don't think I would have the guts to send it off.
Right. Cool. Well, thank you, Justice Curry, for this note. I'm going to forever save it in my office after I disinfect it. And pretty fun. Jay, where can people continue to follow your exploits now on an almost daily basis?
YouTube, my friends, Jay Bartlett. And yes, I am the one with the more subs, I am proud to say.
Yeah, I was going to ask, because going through all our old videos, I can see like the battle between you and the Exorcist and then the chef.
I haven't looked at the chef. Oh, crap. Oh, yeah. No, I'm just talking about the Exorcist. The chef, I think, had way more. Like, I'm years behind him. Wow. But if you guys want to check me out, I am the one with the fancy new logo by our pal Jeremy. He did that. And I'm really, really super happy with it. He's a fantastic artist. Did all our stuff, most of it for Action Figure Adventure. So check me out, guys. I stream gaming content 3 days a week. I do a live toy show that is not the one with Rob. It's something separate. And then, of course, I do my one polished, as I call it, polished toy video a week. So check me out.
Jay's new logo is the one with the band underneath that says, yes, I hate toys.
Yeah, I hate everything pop culture.
And watch him put out 6 videos a week dedicated to it.
Dedicated to complaining.
You guys can obviously find me and all this content here on YouTube. Just like and subscribe, and you'll get kind of notifications when we upload new stuff. It's pretty much just now the best of Action Figure Spotlight and what I'm doing with Jay. And every now and then there's a new thing that gets dropped as well. So if you like toys and toy chat and people that don't like toys and prefer to talk about what their life used to be like and their digestive systems, this is the place for you. This is where you want to be. We end every show with a catchphrase that we can't remember word for word. I thought we should come up with a new one for this new set of episodes. Do you have anything off the top of your head that we can use as a sign off, Jay? Because we hate toys and we're never changing our mind. See you again next week.
Guys, take care of yourselves and don't forget that everything we used to love now hates us.
It doesn't quite flow.
Yeah. I like the old one.
Thanks for watching and listening. And remember, just because you love it doesn't mean it loves you.
Winner.
That's our motto for life, not just toys.
And don't take care of yourselves or each other, because I don't care anymore.
Don't take care of each other or yourself. Get out of the way. Let your health decline as long as you get your plastic dolly that you can't see through a non-plastic window.
Oh.
See you next week, everybody. Cheers.